On the line with us now are two organizers working towards the convergence of civil society coming up around the G8 summit happening next week on Wednesday the 26th. The Group of Eight will be meeting in Kananaskis, Alberta. And tonight we have on the line with us Lisa from Ottawa, who is working with the Anti-Capitalist Community Action working there in Ottawa. And also on the line with us is Melissa, who is a member of Calgary ACT, or Action Coordinating Team. And Melissa, why don't we start with you tonight, because it's been really interesting trying to mobilize in Alberta towards having a democratic expression of dissent around these upcoming G8 meetings there. What kind of obstacles have community activists in Alberta experienced?
I guess the most difficult situation was working with the municipal government. The city of Calgary, I don't think they quite understood that they had to sort of work with us. So in the beginning, it was difficult even trying to get a hold of people that would be willing to coordinate things with us, or said that they were actually responsible for G8 related issues and stuff. So that in itself was a challenge. And then, of course, I'm sure people have heard in the mainstream media that basically the city didn't cooperate with us at all. They weren't willing to give us any kind of space to protest in. They did give us a permit march finally for one of the marches after we negotiated where it would be, but they haven't been willing to give us space to converge, for instance, like a community center or anything like that, that was on city property. And we've also had problems with the police. So there's actually been a number of problems.
And the mobilization that's happening in Calgary, were there other things planned in Alberta? I mean, the G8 summit itself is not happening in Calgary. It's in Kananaskis.
Right. That was a whole other gamut of problems. Solidarity Village, which was supposed to take place originally out in the country of Kananaskis. We had hoped that it would be in close to the area of the summit, but apparently I didn't actually work on the committee that was trying to get space, but I know that they had negotiated with the Stoney Nation out by Kananaskis, and we actually found out that the federal government intervened so that I don't know exactly what they offered them, but I believe Sven Robinson had said that it was some sort of monetary contribution, so basically a bribe to the Stoney, saying, like, if you don't give activists space, then we can offer you these incentives. So it was really difficult because we had the government intervening, even with private landowners saying, we really don't appreciate it if you give these activists space, basically. So,
well, what is it about the issue, or what is it about the activism that the government wants to keep you so far away from the summit itself?
We don't really understand that either. They haven't really communicated anything to us. Basically, the municipal governments, as far as anybody that we've talked to, they quote bylaws and various regulations and I guess just paperwork that says, oh, you're not allowed to hold political events on public property and all these, I mean, they sort of sound like excuses, basically, like it wouldn't be safe to have large amounts of people because we don't have the infrastructure for it. And it just seemed like a lot of excuses. They weren't really willing to negotiate. It was just like, you can't do this. And that was the bottom line, so.
And Lisa, what about your experience in Ottawa? There's a mobilization towards a campaign called Take the Capital. Can you tell our listening audience a little bit about this campaign? Why was Ottawa selected, and what the experience has been organizing towards this upcoming action?
Definitely. The organizing for Ottawa started in February with a consulta with a lot of different people coming throughout the Northeast region of North America to talk about what we wanted to do against the G8 this summer. And the consulta had the idea to, all the groups in there are mandated people to help organize actions on June 26th and 27th, and it got the name Take the Capital. And the first day is going to be a day of decentralized direct action, and the second day is going to be a march called No One is Illegal, and it's a march of 1,000 flags of resistance. And it's been really interesting organizing in Ottawa. We've learned a lot of experience from having a mobilization here in November. So for housing and four different things, we haven't contacted the municipalities at all asking for any help, unlike Calgary, because police and RCMP went around two different community centers before the November action against the G20 here and told them not to let people into their doors and not to rent out any space to community organizers who are activists. And so we've felt that already in different meetings, and if we did need any sleeping space or cooking space, so we have found things elsewhere.
How do you make that connection between the G8 meeting in Alberta and Take the Capitals campaign happening right there in Ottawa?
Well, one of the main things of what we're trying to do in Ottawa is create a regional mobilization and solidarity within people in this region, and it's the running headquarters of the G8. All the policies, Canadian policies, and the G8 headquarters are in Ottawa, so the idea is to disrupt the workings of the G8 in its headquarters. And the thing that we're trying to do as well is really make a really real and concrete attempt to talk about, not just in the flaky way, but to talk about global issues and link it to local struggles and how people are affected here. So it's a really, it's easy to do. You know, you can see the effects in the Safe Streets Act by the Ontario government, you know, this voluntary structural adjustment program that we've seen in Ontario. And so we're making a lot of really concrete links to how the G8's affecting day-to-day life, as well as protesting in the headquarters.
Well, Melissa, we heard a bit about the plans in Ottawa. Can you tell us about what's coming up in Alberta?
There's many, many events during the month of June in Alberta. During, I guess, the upcoming weeks, June 23rd is the first official massive march, you could say. It's our Community Solidarity March, and that's the legal march that we've actually been given a permit for. So we expect that to actually be a fairly peaceful, more family-friendly event. And then we also have a couple sort of more entertainment things leading up to the 26th and 27th, which are the actual days that the G8 Summit is taking place. We have a showdown at the Hoedown, which is basically, we found out that the City of Calgary was putting on a party of sorts for the delegates and all their associates, and it's going to be a huge bill for the city, and we don't think the taxpayers should have to pay for it, so we're having our own little party, I guess, for people that are converging in Calgary. So that's the showdown at the Hoedown on the 25th. And then on the 26th, we're having Take Back the Streets. That's actually the illegal march that we have not been given a permit for, and we've been told we're not supposed to be having. And that's going to be our main goal with that march, is going to be facilitating direct action as well as economic disruption. So we've actually put out a public notice to people to avoid the downtown core if they don't want to be involved in the march, so that we don't disrupt the public as much, but we do want to cause as much economic disruption as possible. And then on the 26th and 27th, out in Kananaskis, there's the Frontline Peace Zone, which is going to be a peaceful protest in Kananaskis.
Melissa, what has the response been of community members in Calgary? Are they knocking down your door, worried about the potential violence coming from people converging there?
Well, it's actually kind of interesting, because I guess the police have been getting a lot of calls, because we were liaisoning with the police a little bit for the past couple months, meeting with them several times, and they told us that the business community had been really scared, and they had been phoning the police asking for a lot of information about what protesters were going to be doing. We don't know what kind of information the police gave them. Of course, they won't disclose that to us, but we've been trying to do as much public education as possible. We've had a couple public meetings, and we've had a lot of filming and stuff like that leading up to it, but it seems like the public is really uninformed here. It's actually really surprising of how uninformed people are about the issues surrounding G8 and what activists want to do and what exactly is going to be going on. So it's been quite a struggle to try and inform the public about what it is we're doing and what it's we're trying to accomplish and alternatives and that sort of thing. But in the last couple weeks, we actually ran a couple articles about how difficult we've been finding things, trying to find billeting and housing for people, and there's been actually a really big influx of people that have offered their housing or services and volunteered. So we think that possibly now that it's getting closer down to crunch time, that people are starting to open up and become a little bit more interested and open-minded about things. So,
what about in Ottawa, Lisa? Can you tell us what the community response has been there?
It's been pretty interesting. In terms of the newspapers have been really quite horrible in many ways. Today there's an editorial in the Ottawa Citizen calling the actions diversity of idiots. So we've had a bit of things like that going on. But within the Ottawa community, we had a teach-in just this past weekend, and there's a lot of people who came out from Ottawa, and it was really promising, and a lot of people I've never met before, and just talking about the issues. So I think we're seeing a bit of what Calgary had saw, that, people are kind of reluctant to be opening up houses and to kind of taking part or saying they're part of Take the Capital. But there are many people when it's the crunch time of really coming together and working on it.
You are listening to a conversation with Lisa, who is a member of Anti-Capitalist Community Action in Ottawa, preparing for the upcoming Take the Capital action. Also on the line is Melissa, who's out in Calgary working with Calgary ACT, or Action Coordinating Team. We'll be right back after a short break. You are listening to Off the Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. Stay with us. We're talking with two community organizers in two different communities that are preparing for some upcoming convergences of civil society around the G8 or Group of Eight Summit happening in Kananaskis, Alberta just next week. And on the line with us is Lisa and Melissa. Lisa is in Ottawa and Melissa is in Calgary. Melissa, I wonder if you can tell us about the police activities. What's been the expectation of activists as they pour out onto the street? I could tell you a bit about what's happened here in Montreal, that when the labor ministers met here on April 26, activists were surrounded. Around 500 activists were detained for several hours in a downtown street, and subsequently 100 or so were ticketed, while the rest were simply deposited at metro stations, care of police and care of taxpayer money. And this also begs a recollection of what happened in November in Ottawa, and Lisa, maybe you can speak about that in a bit, during the G20 or Group of 20 summit there, when police released dogs as well as other chemical weapons into the street. But Melissa, I wonder if you can tell our listeners what folks are anticipating in terms of police or state response in Alberta.
Right. We had, over the last couple months, the police have contacted us, and we had a couple people meeting with the police several times. And basically, we expect it to be no different than any other protest in the past because of the meetings that we've had with them. We've asked for an apology, of course, for what they've done in the past, and also documentation stating exactly how it's going to change and how they're going to react to civil disobedience in various situations. And basically, they weren't very willing to provide us with any of the above. So we basically see it as sort of a, I guess, like we're at a standstill, or it's sort of been a dead end for us. So we don't really expect it to be any different than other large protests. And we know that they've been working with Ottawa police and other police groups. So we think that basically it's going to end up exactly the same as it has in the past. So nothing too optimistic about that.
Lisa, I wonder if you can describe what happened in Ottawa for the G20. What happened then, and what are the expectations for next week's convergence?
What happened then is, during spokes councils, a lot of people in the Ottawa community decided that they really wanted to talk to the police about the planned route that they were taking for the mass march that was happening under the Liberton Flats and what they were going to do. And there's lots of talk around whether or not to do that. And in the end, a lot of the organizers decided to talk to the police and to create a relationship and a bit of a trust. So the police knew exactly where people were going, and people thought that, you know, they would allow the march to happen. It was like 50 steps onto the march outside of LeBreton Flats heading towards downtown. There was a checkpoint, a very violent and aggressive police checkpoint. Police in riot gears with dogs started attacking people, mainly people who were wearing black or had a hoodie on or something, and would put them to the ground. Some people got arrested. Some people thought they had guns pointed to their heads. Police, the dogs attacked journalists and attacked people. And this kind of shows what the police are like in Ottawa, that they said, oh yeah, you know, showing a good face of, tell us what you're doing, let's really work together. And then the day of action of what happened is they really lost that trust and attacked people. So what we're doing for Take the Capital is we are making a strong stance of not consulting with the police and not trusting the police.
And in Canada, you're not required to get any kind of permit for demonstrating?
Yeah, it is a charter right that you can protest on the street.
So, in fact, there's no kind of law out there that says you have to consult with the police or you have to inform the police as to what your actions are?
No.
What's the media coverage been like? You mentioned the Ottawa Citizen. What has the great non-biased mainstream media had to say about these upcoming actions in Ottawa?
Well, a lot of the things that they have been saying is show your face and face the music, which is one of the headlines of today, a diversity of idiots coming to town, and this is a great editorial from Sethem News, and really attacking protesters and criminalizing dissent and not even realizing that it is our right to protest, that we have every right to be out in the street. And the papers have been pretty disgusting, and the Ottawa Sun had a couple of good articles and a couple of really bad things of talking just about violence and talking about good versus bad protesters. And we are working with some good journalists and things, but it's really interesting to see what does come out in the papers.
Well, this seems to be a bit of a repeat, maybe even a rerun, during last year's or prior to last year's Summit of the Americas conference in Quebec City. There was plenty of poor media coverage in terms of not talking about the issues and just focusing on police actions and the military buildup in Quebec City, and absolutely no discussion of the issues. Is there any space for this painting a picture of what the issues are in the streets around the G8 summit and why activists would be denouncing their agenda in the streets of Ottawa? Is that found in the press at all?
Once in a while, there's a few pretty good quotes, and there are some journalists who are really trying to work with that. But overall, what I've seen the past week is just a lot of focus on violence, on the fact that Take the Capitol is attacking residents, which is completely false, like about taking the Capitol away from the people who are living there, and just a lot of very aggressive things. We recently had a press conference, and a lot of the questions were like, would you kill people? Are you violent? And do you condone violence? And you know, that we're a social justice movement. We're here to protect and to fight and to struggle for human rights and for the basic dignity of living. And no, we're not out to be killing people. So it's been really interesting of what a lot of journalists have been jumping on and what the newspapers have been jumping on. We have had some talk with the Ottawa Express, which has been trying to show a few different sides within the activist community of Ottawa. And, you know, they've had letters to the editor that people have been able to get in there. And similar with The Citizen, there's a really interesting article of a journalist who went into a meeting of the CLAC in Montreal and was talking about it being a secretive group and all of this, you know, really showing how secretive he thought it was. And it was an open public assembly, and he got a full-page article talking about the violence and the secretiveness and these, you know, closed consultas, which are meetings that are always open to the public. So, but people did get an editorial in the Ottawa Citizen. But it's Sethem News, so you can't really expect much from a big media conglomerate.
Melissa, what about the media coverage in Alberta? Is it similar to the situation that Lisa's describing in Ottawa?
Sounds like you live in Calgary. Yeah, it's been quite similar, actually. Our major paper here is the Calgary Herald, and it's also owned by Sethem. And there's a reporter here by the name of Mark Reed, who has misquoted me about 5 times. And we actually have a group of people within our activist organizations that have been monitoring the media and keeping track of all the misquotes that we've had. And basically, just like she was saying, they focus on the violence, the security costs, and that's about it. They will ask you when they're doing the interviews, like, oh, do you want to talk about the issues? And they'll ask you about 3 questions, but of course that never makes it into the article or makes it onto the television. Basically, they have like their 10-second news bite of activists are planning and say they would like to avoid violence, but, and it's sort of like a lead-in. I think they're doing a lot of fear-mongering here because the citizens of Calgary haven't had the same experiences as people in Ontario where there have been a lot of protests. So, I mean, the media is just feeding people's, I guess, ignorance and fear of what's to come, basically.
And is it working?
I think to a large degree it is with the general public who don't sort of, I guess, a lot of our public education has been around the university and around students and young people and a couple community centers around certain neighborhoods. But outside of that, we've had a really hard time getting into schools or community centers on outlying areas, and we think that those type of people, like your average citizen basically living in the suburban neighborhood, that's basically the only place that they're getting information from is the media. So their response to us hasn't been too well, so we're thinking that they are for sure being scared by the media.
What about the fear-mongering in Ottawa, Lisa? Is it working there as well?
Well, it's been everywhere and a lot. I think there's still a strong crew that's organizing, but definitely it's just interesting to see there's a CBC CBC went out the other day, and when people, I guess some people had gone into citizenship and immigration and stolen certain things, and CBC kept saying, don't worry, it's not terrorists or the violent protesters. We repeat, it is not the violent protesters. So it's really interesting when that is what you hear everywhere in town. But there are going to be a couple of public meetings to be talking with people and to talk about the Days of Action and talk about working with people in Ottawa. So that's happening in, I think, this Friday.
Well, what about the relationship between the Group of Eight's agenda in local issues? How are you planning to discuss what the G8 has on its agenda in terms of economics and security plans for the world's 6 billion people and what that means for the local community in Ottawa?
Well, I think the one thing that we're focusing on solely for the second day, the March of No One is Illegal, is really trying to push the idea of no borders and really be critical and talking about this war on terrorism and how it's a war abroad and it's a war at home, and really working with many different groups, with the Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights and Canadian and Columbia Solidarity here in Ottawa, and really talking about how no one is illegal, making vocal the attacks on immigrants and refugees here in Canada and the attacks of people abroad, and really bringing that home. It's also been a lot of, in many of the public education events we have had, there's been a lot of talk from local activists, from people from different groups similar to OCAP, or from people from the Spot in Kitchener, and which is a drop-in center for youth that some activists there with the KW Youth Collective helped start up, and just really linking the economic growth model that the G8 is pushing and seeing how it's been played out in Ontario with the Harris government and their neoliberal reform agenda and their structural adjustment agenda that they've voluntarily taken up, of privatization of essential services. And a lot of people are talking about that and looking at the effects day-to-day in Ottawa of, you know, a shocking housing crisis where it is impossible to find an affordable house here. The Safe Streets Act, where people are getting kicked off the streets so the city looks good for tourists or looks good for the yuppies who need to go to the fancy bars on a Friday night, and really hitting that home and really connecting it to the G8 and its economic growth model.
Well, Melissa, with the G8 gathering next week in Alberta, has it become an opportunity to talk about issues in Calgary as well?
Most definitely. Doing our public education, we're trying to draw links between the G8 and, for instance, Ralph Klein's policies. If everyone in Ontario knows, Ralph Klein is like the guru of Americanization and privatization. He's really been pushing for privatization within the healthcare system. We've also had electricity privatized here. And just, I guess, drawing links between especially those two major issues, which have been pretty controversial in Alberta. And also, because Calgary is such an oil-based city, there's been a lot of boom and bust here. And I think people are starting to realize that that sort of unsustainable economy isn't going to work for very much longer, especially with the environmental consequences of it. And also the anti-poverty groups have been working with us about affordable housing, which has become a really big issue here, because there has been a huge influx in the last 5 years, and Calgary has grown so much, but there's a lot of work, but there's no place for these people to live when they come here to work, and a lot of it's low-income labor jobs that people are coming here for. And so just drawing links with average people, because a lot of the people we talk to say, well, we understand that there's these huge problems and we totally support you guys, but we don't understand like how that affects us. For instance, they see it as like the global south. They see the global south and their problems, but they don't see it how it's going to have a negative impact on North America and especially Canadians. So trying to draw, like Lisa was saying before, connections with local issues is a really big struggle for us right now.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining us on this edition of Off the Hour. I want our listeners to stay tuned, because we're going to come back with contact info. Both Lisa and Melissa will stay on the line just for another moment.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on.
Do you realize our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news, brought to you live.
don't have internet access, we encourage people to phone the Jade Info Line, which is at 403-274-9570. Or if you have internet access, all of our contacts and all of our events information is on g8.activist.ca, and there's links to basically everything that's going on in Calgary and Kananaskis there.
Great. And Lisa?
Hi. For Ottawa, we have a website, www.takethecapital.net, and that's all one word for Take the Capital. And on there, you can find links to our online housing forms. So if you still need housing for coming to Ottawa, you can just enter it there, and we will be matching here in Ottawa and get back to you as soon as we can. We also have a email address, takethecapital@tao.ca.
And if you want to actually make it to Ottawa, you can get on the bus by calling 514-931-2377. That's right, buses are leaving from Montreal to Ottawa, and bus registration deadline is Friday, June 21st at 5 p.m. So do call 514-931-2377. Thanks to both Lisa and Melissa for joining us today on this edition of Off the Hour.